And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this Friday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We are in our third and final hour of this week after the Dallas Conference, the Hear the Watchman Conference. Folks, you can still order the DVD. Go to hearthewatchman.com for that. We have with us tonight author, speaker, radio show host, alternative health doctor, Ted Brewer. His book, Breakthrough Health, is available on his website. Sign up for his newsletter also at healthmasters.com and tune into his radio show right here on Global Star Radio Network, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, weekdays, and Sunday, 7 to 8 p.m.
And I just want to give a shout-out to our listeners. We've got listeners right now in New Zealand, Australia, Europe, various countries in Europe, Kazakhstan, as a matter of fact, if you can believe that. We actually, live streaming of the conference to Kazakhstan as well, twice in 1 week, I heard that country. And Bob, Maggie, thank you so very much. God bless both of you and all of the listeners. You know, we are family, right? We are. And as Christians, we just, I just, you don't know how much we appreciate reading the mail that we get, the postal mail. And I've got a special board, Ted. I'm not sure if I ever told you this. I was talking to Greg Jackson this past week, and
great man.
You know, yeah, we have listeners who send us pictures of their dogs, and I've got a wall of dogs, listener dogs, on the. I don't know why I started it, but him and his dog Gunner. But nonetheless, I just want to say thank you to everybody for your prayers and support and your kindness, and thanks for being part of the family. Ted, take it. Again, Ted Brewer, Health Masters.
I feel the same way. Thank you guys for supporting Health Masters and Doug Hagman, and for being part of the Health Masters family. Thank you for your support. Yeah. Also, if you want to listen live to my show from 3 to 4 Eastern Standard Time, it's the phone number is 605-475-8092. That's 605. Because a lot of you don't have internet access, I know that. 605-475-8092. Or, and if you miss the show live, 3 to 4, Monday through Friday, and Sundays from 7 to 8, you can also listen to the 24-hour listen line. It's a live feed that starts at the beginning of the show as soon as you call, 24 hours a day, and you can listen to it anytime you want. A lot of you have still have free 800 service, so free phone service, so it's 641-552-5310. That's again 641-552-5310. And that's, so if you missed the show and you want to tune it in at 4 or 5 o'clock, click it on right there. You can listen to it on your telephone. It's really nice because you don't get charged for data if you're going down the road. If you want to listen to it on your telephone, and you can just listen to it over the speakers if your phone will interface with your stereo, or you can listen to it on iTunes. And but you know, or you go to just do it on Global Star Satellite. But I mean, this is what we have available for you guys. And the show is kind of fun because Austin and I like to joke, and I always like to do little readings of what news stories are, and I'll tell you what the mainstream lying press says, and I will go back in, I will insert the truth, I will insert the truth after each sentence of lies, and kind of make a parody of the entire story. Because that's what it is. It's a parody. And there's a parody for trying to make you guys believe. But let's talk right now about glyphosate, what happened with glyphosate, the damages that are caused by glyphosate, the poison that it has done. And this is the Roundup stuff that's being sprayed on everything, how it's linked to prostate cancer, breast cancer, and all these different types of cancer, and the information that we got from the Freedom of Information Act, one of these authors who actually posted all of their research from Monsanto themselves showing that it caused cancer, and they still marketed it to human beings. Isn't that amazing, guys?
Absolutely it is.
They knew it caused cancer, and they still gave it to us.
Well, before you continue, I just want to say hi to a few people who sent us emails and are listening out of the country. Sean in South Africa, as well as Thomas in Holland. I want to say hello.
Truly a worldwide audience, and that's because of... It's not because of us, believe me. It's because of guests like Ted Brewer.
And the internet.
And watcher technology. All right, brother. Let's glyphosate. Here we go. Now it's
Monsanto. And because I've had my friend, and I mentioned this earlier today, or the show first hour, about how he's suffering from chronic problems with his prostate now. I mean, they're about to have to take his prostate out. that you know, he's getting up 4 and 5 times a night. Also, one other thing that he was doing, and he had read it on the internet, you got to be so careful not to do this kind of stuff. I'm going to tell you how to do it right now, so instead of doing it wrong. He believed that you should be taking apple cider vinegar with every single meal, like a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar. And the reason that works for some people and not other people is because of body pH, the potential of hydrogen, we call it in chemistry, which is what pH stands for. And the more acidic you are, the worse vinegar does for your body. If you have an alkaline pH of about a 7.8 on a urine or saliva test, and you take apple cider vinegar until your pH gets down to between 6.4 and 6.8, it's actually a pretty good protocol to follow. And you can get pH litmus tests at most drugstores, and you can actually test your urine. Don't do it first thing in the morning. Do it after your 2 hours after you eat, but in the middle of the day, do it the same time every single day. If your urine goes very acidic below 6.4, sometimes I've seen it as low as 5.2, that's extremely acidic. Same thing with saliva. And the more acidic your body goes, the less energy you're able to pull from your food. Because remember, it's all about the frequency of the food. It's about the bile. Because if the bile is secreted by the gallbladder, when you eat your food, you chew it, it goes into your stomach, it becomes very acidic. When it becomes acidic, it can't go into the small intestine because the small intestine can't handle that acid. So it goes through what's called a common bile duct, and the gallbladder releases bile, which is extremely alkaline. It's basic. It's like calcium, it's like putting baking soda in with acid, and it neutralizes it. And when that neutralized food goes through your intestinal tract, it's called chyme. And what that does, then the intestines start pulling nutrients out because it's broken down by the acid. If your body is overly acidic, what happens is it goes through your system too fast, and the alkalinity of the bile won't work. It becomes too acidic. You end up with a lot of diarrhea problems. You start losing a lot of weight, and you stay tired all the time. You end up with real dark circles under your eyes, and you're fatigued all the time because your body's overly acidic. If that type of individual decided to start using apple cider vinegar, it would make them even more acidic because apple cider vinegar has a pH of, 2.5, something like that. It pushed the pH down even lower into the acid range. It would make them sicker and sicker and sicker and sicker. Well, my kid read it was good for the prostate, so he started doing all his apple cider vinegar, but he already has an acidic pH. And so it made me, and I told him not to do it. He didn't listen to me. So now he's gotten worse and worse and worse over the last 30 days he's been using the apple cider vinegar. If, on the other hand, you got an 8.2, 8.4 urine pH, saliva pH, your body's way too alkaline, if you use the apple cider vinegar with every meal, it'll bring that pH down. It actually increases the energy from the food because that's how your body gets energy. It has to break the food down. Now, every point that you go below 6.4, like when you go to 5.4, you have almost a 100-fold drop in energy levels from if you went from 6.4 to 7.4. The acidity is much, much worse as far as the on your body. That's when you get constant diarrhea. The food goes through you constantly because the food is too acidic for your body to properly absorb it because it'll burn the intestinal tract. So your body has to excrete it, get it out as quickly as you possibly can. So you end up with constant diarrhea and you can't digest or maintain a mineral balance in your system because your body's overly acidic. And I know I'm going into all this super detailed stuff tonight about nutrition. This is what I did for all of these years. I worked with thousands and thousands of patients. I sat down and spoke with thousands of people and told them the exact same thing. Finally, I put together a CD set. Back then, it was an audio tape series called Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy. And it told them everything I just told you and how to stay healthy. And so it teaches them how to maintain their health at their house. Now, that same program is still available. I think we have 15 sets left. I kid you not. It's on our website. There's 15 sets left, and after they're gone because CDs are old technology. Nobody uses them anymore. And so if you get a car nowadays, it didn't come with CDs anymore in it. So if you want to get these last couple, you can get them. They're available on the website, but when they're gone, they're gone. But that's the protocol that changed so many people throughout the United States that we sold and marketed through all of these huge seminars that we did throughout the 90s. In fact, we'd have 10, 20, 30, 40,000 people in attendance. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I was on with J.B. Wells on Caravan to Midnight. He was asking about my seminars that we used to do and still do some of them. And I pulled one of the big posters off my wall from 1994 when we were the Thunderdome at St. Pete, which is where the baseball stadium is now. I think it's called the Tropicana Field now. And it was me and President Bush, Barbara Bush, General Schwarzkopf, Paul Harvey, and Zig Ziglar. we were all the keynote speakers there. And I actually pulled that poster off the wall, and I showed it on the live TV screen with J.B. Wells. And I don't know if people just think that I was kidding about doing all this. If I really did all of that stuff, and I spoke to millions, over a million people at live seminars, and millions more on radio and TV. Now, so with the prostate problems that we have now, we know that they're linked to glyphosate or Roundup, and along with other things. But let me give you some research on all of this. Monsanto's sealed documents that were given to us through the Freedom of Information Act by Richard Gale, who did the research on this, have proven that the year of 2015 was not kind to Monsanto. In March, the World Health Organization declared that the company's flagship product, Roundup, is a probable human carcinogen. And this month, California's Environmental Protection Agency launched plans to label Roundup as a cancer-causing agent. Glyphosate is the most widely used herbicide in the world today. Over 130 countries currently permit extensive use of this chemical. The U.S. is the largest consumer, now listen to this, using approximately 20% of the world supply of Roundup. The latest reliable figures from the U.S. Geological Survey record 280 million pounds of Roundup were used in 2012. Nearly a pound, guys, for every single American. Over the years, a large body of independent research, and I'm reading right from this article, Monsanto sealed documents reveal the truth behind Roundup toxicological dangers, Richard Gale. Over the years, a large body of independent research has accumulated and now collectively provides a sound scientific rationale to confirm that glyphosate is far more toxic and poses more serious health risks to animals and humans than Monsanto and the U.S. government admit. Among the many diseases and health conditions non-industry studies have identified include Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and autism. Since Roundup has been shown to instigate aluminum accumulation in the brain, the herbicide has been responsible for reproductive problems such as infertility, miscarriages, and neural tube and birth defects. It is a causal agent for a variety of cancers, including brain, breast, prostate, lung, and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Other disorders include chronic kidney disease, liver disease, diabetes, heart disease, hypothyroidism, and leaky gut syndrome. In addition to lung cancer, glyphosate may be responsible for today's growing epidemics of chronic respiratory illnesses among farm workers and their families. The company has the financial means to retain large international PR firms such as Burston, Marsteller, and Fleischmann, Hillard, consultation firms and think tanks, as well as large armies of hired trolls and academic spokespersons to mobilize damage control upon notice and protect the integrity of Monsanto's products and public image. It funds and orchestrates self-driving research at universities and research laboratories to increase the arsenal of junk science and scientists. And of course, it has Hillary Clinton, Bill Gates, and Ted Cruz as celebrity cheerleaders. The question, could Monsanto be charged with crimes of omission and, more deservingly, crimes against humanity? The serious scenario may not be a fantasy for the wishful thinking or GMO's opponents. The case has a precedent and has been played out in courts before. In November 1998, the U.S. government won a judgment against the four largest U.S. tobacco companies, Philip Morris, Reynolds, Brown, and Williams, and Lorillard. The case came to trial after a former vice president of research and development at Brown and Williamson turned whistleblower and revealed tobacco's health risk was making concerted efforts to addict people to smoking. High-ranking executives were found to have approved the inclusion of known addictive and carcinogenic chemicals such as Comarin and in cigarettes to increase smoking sales and profits. During congressional hearings, all seven CEOs representing the four tobacco giants lied under oath that they had no knowledge about an association between nicotine and brain addiction. These guys are lowlifes, guys. Many critics of the agreement state that the industry was too merciful and no tobacco executive went to prison. However, there was a $206 billion settlement. During the latter half of the 70s, Monsanto's leading products were under federal inquiry and public assault regarding safety. Dioxin had been banned. Safety concerns arose over its sweetener saccharin, and cyclamate was removed from the market. The company's attempts to get a new artificial aspartame confronted obstacles during FDA scientific reviews, including causing brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches, and optic nerve degradation. However, it was finally approved with Donald Rumsfeld. there is now an enormous cache of evidence, both scientific and legal grounds, that Monsanto, in fact, conducted numerous studies in the 70s and 80s on Roundup's poisonous and toxicity levels in humans. Anthony Sampson is an independent research scientist. He, through the Freedom of Information Act, required obtained multiple research from Monsanto. Months later, he received a hoard of scientific documents, over 15,000 pages, covering Monsanto's complete glyphosate research. With his co-investigator, Dr. Stephanie Seth at MIT, the two have been reviewing Monsanto's data. Their conclusion is Monsanto's claims about glyphosate safety are patently false. The company has known for almost four decades, 40 years, that glyphosate are responsible for a very large variety of cancer and organ failures. Monsanto misrepresented the data and deliberately covered up data to bring glyphosate to the market. In order to minimize and cancel out its adverse findings, Sampson explained that Monsanto had relied upon earlier historical animal control data, toxicological research with lab animals afflicted with cancer and organ failures, and completely unrelated to glyphosate. Thereby, he skewed the control group. It enables corporations to mask undesirable outcomes and make claims that observable illnesses and disease are spontaneous occurrences without known factors. Now, what they just said is this. When they tested the animals for cancer with glyphosate, they took animals in the control group that they knew were already infected with cancer, so that when they did a statistical analysis on the testing, they would show that the animals came down with cancer who weren't exposed to glyphosate, but they already had cancer before the test began. It was a complete and total bogus study. Cancers include cancer of the pituitary gland, the massive glial tumors of the brain, sarcomas of the heart, malignant tumors of the lungs, metastatic sarcomas of the lymph glands, prostate carcinoma, cancer of the bladder, thyroid carcinoma, adrenal reticulum cell carcinomas, basal cell squamous skin tumors. In female mammals, there were cancers of the lung, liver, thymus, stomach, bladder, adrenal glands, ovaries, colon, uterus, parathyroid, and mammary glands. One of Monsanto's claims that glyphosate doesn't bioaccumulate in tissues, rapidly degrades, and is excreted from the body readily and easily. Contrary to this claim, however, Monsanto carried out meticulous studies to determine levels of accumulation in the organs and tissues and cells. Glyphosate was radio-labeled with carbon-14 and given 10 milligram doses, seven groups of animals. After only 24 hours, this toxic poison was found in the lungs, the body fluids, the lymph, the blood, the urine, and the cerebral spinal fluid. Glyphosate also accumulates in the bone by 30 parts per million and in the bone marrow by 4 parts per million. Monsanto's studies were comprehensive. It found an accumulation of the chemical in red cells, the thyroid, the uterus, the colon, the testicles, the ovaries, shoulder muscles, nasal mucosa, heart, lungs, small intestines, abdominal muscles, and eyes. It does a particular number on the lungs as far as lung damages. The occurrence of cataracts is rising rapidly. It's been linked to cataracts. Monsanto's study showing glyphosate activity in the eye may be contributing to cataracts. During recent years, dozens of states are submitting bills to label GMO foods. These food crops are heavily laced with glyphosate residue. Not only GM crops, but even non-GM produce are sprayed with Roundup. According to the Organic Consumers Association, non-organic and non-GMO foods such as wheat, barley, oats, flax, peas, lentils, beans, and sugarcane are also being sold to farmers as a desiccant. They're spraying it all with Roundup so they can have their harvest go quicker and they have a higher yield per acre. That's how poisonous Roundup is, guys. Now, I've never gone into that kind of detail with you guys before, but that's what this stuff does.
You know, Wait a second.
Line two. We got the CEO of Monsanto for you, Ted. Sorry.
Well, good. I hope they're here. I mean, I've already been contacted by these guys, by the way, when I was going after aspartame back in the 90s. And that was an interesting story I won't talk about on the air, when their attorney sent me an entire information pack. And I also got one of those same information packs from Procter & Gamble when I went after Olean and Olestra, which was a product they were using. It was a fake fat back in the 90s your body couldn't digest. And so one of the side effects of this horrible product was called rectal seepage. I mean, that just sounds awful. And we used to just, God, I used to do so many talk shows on that. And finally, that product was taken off the market, probably because of all the talk shows that I did. I talked about that.
And Ted, thousands of shows. I saw or heard a commercial for some sort of beverage. I think it was a soda of some kind that made the distinction. They said, you know, we are aspartame free. It's the first time I saw one.
I think Pepsi or Coke just, or one of the big names just did that.
Well, a lot of them use Splenda now, and Splenda's now been linked to leukemia and all kinds of other. Splenda, remember, is a chlorocarb, but it's basically a pesticide. Remember that product called Chlordane that we used to have back in the 60s and 70s? They took off the market because it was so toxic. That's basically Splenda. That's also a chlorocarbon. That stuff was so poisonous. I loved it, though. If you use it properly, you can apply it for termites here in Florida and then put it under your slab, and you never had a termite ever again, period. It never happened. You never had a termite, but it was also one of the most poisonous things they've ever developed, and it was getting into the aquifer and causing all of this horrible, horrible cancer problems. And so they had to pull chlordane off. Well, this is a chlordane. This is, that was also a chlorohydrocarbon. That's what Splenda is. Are you kidding me? I mean, it completely disrupts the intestinal bacteria because you're dumping all that chlorine into your body, and it's just poisonous. It's all poisonous. So if you just use stevia, it's a natural herb. It sweetens things great. We've got a great stevia product at Health Masters. It tastes great. It doesn't have an aftertaste. It comes in like a quart-sized container. We sell a bunch of it. And it's just a good product, and that's the one we found that works so well. And we ship that stuff all over the world. So that's the other things. But I wanted to go into detail on glyphosate tonight because my buddy Mike has got nothing but prostate problems, and he refuses to eat organic foods. And all of this stuff that's not organic, guys, it is soaked in glyphosate, literally soaked by the airplanes a week before it's harvested. And that's one of the biggest problems that you have right now with the Crohn's disease, and the problem with the ileocecal valves, and all of these different types of intestinal disorders. So much of it's linked directly to glyphosate. Guys, you can't put something this poisonous into your body through your digestive tract and not think it's going to affect you. Nuttiest thing I've ever seen.
Ted, let me ask you. This is not done. This is not done for really any legitimate purpose, is it? And in other words, is this the use of this particular product, for lack of a better descriptive term? This is all eugenics, isn't it? This is genocide. Or is somebody thinking, wait a minute, we can actually save money by using this, or we can actually? I guess my question would be, how can anyone justify the use of these products?
Here's what they did. Monsanto also controls a lot of seed production, and they put what's called terminator genes in the seeds. They genetically modified the seeds. My grandfather came over here from Germany back in the late 1800s. He farmed, and he'd keep 10% of his seed every year, this corn, for the following year to plant. Seed time and harvest, right? And this is the whole thing about sowing and reaping. You know, you sow the seed, you reap the harvest, you keep 10% back, and you can plant the next year's crop, and then you make the money on the 90% yield, and you keep the other 10% for seed. Well, Monsanto realized that they could make more money, and these seed manufacturers could make more money if they put terminator seeds in these seeds, and then they would say, you have a higher yield by buying our seed. Well, the farmers initially didn't know that when they did that, they couldn't replant the seed the following year because it wouldn't grow. It had a terminator gene in it. It wouldn't come back again. It was basically told genetically that it couldn't sprout or reproduce. So then what happened is the farmers initially were able to bring supposedly higher crop yields to bear by doing this. Well, then what ended up happening is these things were more susceptible to weeds and pests and everything else because they weren't as strong as the natural products were. So they thought, well, we're going to now engineer these seeds so they're Roundup ready. So you can spray the entire crop with Roundup from the airplanes and you don't kill it because the seed and this plant is no longer susceptible to Roundup, which is glyphosate. So then they started giving you Roundup ready corn, supposedly only for animal production. They'd spray these crops with all of these Roundup and then it wouldn't kill the plant, but then you'd have to worry about weeds because the plants were so weak the weeds would kill them. Well, then that wasn't good enough. They decided that if they sprayed this a week or so before the crop was harvested, which means now the seed and the buds are all out, it's ready to harvest, ready to be sent to the human beings. If we now spray it with a Roundup from the air on the plants that aren't glyphosate ready, Roundup ready, that they will dry out and then we can use them as a desiccant. and we can actually get a higher crop yield because the combines will go through them more quickly and give us more yield per acre of the finished product. But these idiots didn't think through the fact that this was the finished food wheat, the finished food product, and that they were spraying this food that was now going to be fed, the barley, the oats, the rye, the wheat, that this was going to be sprayed with a systemic poison and then put into food and packaged as bread. That's why people say, I have a gluten intolerance. The vast majority of people don't have gluten intolerances. They have a glyphosate intolerance. They can't eat bread, which has the gluten, the wheat, because it was sprayed a week before it was harvested with glyphosate. That's why if you're going to use bread, you should always only buy organic wheat, organic bread, organic oat, whatever you want to make the bread out of, it doesn't make any difference. Or from the grocery store, it has to say organic. In fact, I talked to Mike today. He gets, quote, natural chicken. He goes, I always eat organic. I get natural chicken. I said, Mike, natural chicken is not organic chicken. Organic chicken is fed organic feed. That's why it's called organic chicken. Natural chicken means it hasn't been injected with hormones. I said, so you're getting this chicken that's eating all of this glyphosate corn. It's loaded with glyphosate in its tissue. You're cooking it. You're thinking it's organic. It's not. It has to be certified organic, the feed in this chicken, all the way through its life cycle. It's like we have chickens at the house. We have, like, I think we have 14 chickens here. I mean, people think, well, Ted Brewer really has chickens. Yeah, we really do have chickens. We really do tell you what to do, and we do it ourselves. And what we do is we, because we have a health food store here, we order grains in for human consumption, like ground grits, which is corn, that's all organic. It's very cheap because we buy in 50-pound sacks. We get it at wholesale. And so we take all of this stuff, and we mix it together, and we make our own chicken feed. And, I mean, they get flax seed, millet, all these seeds. We mix them all together. It costs about the same as regular feed because we get it at wholesale. So these chickens are literally eating human organic feed. And our eggs aren't yellow, the yolks. They're like a dark, dark orange. It's the craziest thing you've ever seen because they're getting natural organic feed. So now we've controlled the entire life cycle of that bird and the entire life cycle of the eggs that we're eating to make sure that we're not getting eggs that are loaded with glyphosate because they were given corn that contains GMO and also been sprayed with glyphosate. Does that make sense, guys?
Yeah, it does.
And you say, well, that's complicated. Well, it is a nuisance. It is a nuisance doing this. That's why they're fighting the labeling laws. And last week they tried to pass that Monsanto Dark Act again, and it was defeated because finally consumers have had enough of this, and they're saying, you know, the German word is genug, which means enough. Genug ist genug, which means enough is enough. We don't want to eat poison anymore. I mean, look at all these kids with all of these intestinal disorders and all of the stuff that's going on. It's almost always caused by glyphosate contamination of the food supply, and it's in everything, guys. You've got to eat organic, especially if you're having prostate problems or problems with all these other things that we already talked about just a minute ago when I read you that list.
You know, we need to, obviously, we need to be very aware. I mean, I think we have a responsibility, not just to ourselves, but to our family, to the body, to other Christians, I mean, to be healthy. And we talked about this at the beginning of the show. And you know, it's inconvenient. And some might say, well, it's expensive. Yeah, I suppose it is. But, you know, what's your alternative? I mean, what's the alternative? The alternative is sickness, which is a heck of a lot more expensive in the long run. Yeah.
So. Well, you know, Doug, it's interesting you said that because I remember one time I had a friend of mine, and they were saying the same thing. Well, like, it costs an extra 30% to eat right. And I said, well, you're right, it does. It does. It costs more. It shouldn't, but it does. And I said, they said, well, it's too expensive. And I said, compared to what? A day in the hospital? A day in surgery? Having your prostate taken out and never being able to have sex again, if that's what you want to do? I mean, is this what your goal is? Or basically being on these drugs for the rest of your life? Or cancer? Or diabetes? Or heart disease? I mean, expensive compared to what? Always ask yourself a question. Expensive compared to what? Well, expensive to junk food that makes me sick. Well, yeah, you're right, it is. It is. It's more expensive. But if you stop eating out and you prepare the organic food at home and you stop having restaurant bills, it's not expensive. It really isn't. I mean, when we go to a restaurant, we bring our own bottled Boss water that we have that's distilled that we make with our own distiller. And if they say something to me about it, I say, look, do you have natural water in glass? And they go, what do you mean? I said, no, I don't want it in plastic because I don't want all the BPA and the bisphenol A and all these female estrogens in my water. I said, if you have this water in glass, I will buy your bottled water in glass. I have no problem with that. And invariably, they say, no, we don't have any glass bottled water. Sometimes there's a couple of restaurants that say, yes, we do have glass bottled water. I say, that's fine. I won't drink this. Bring me the glass bottled water because I don't mind doing that. But you've got to draw a line in the sand somewhere. How much rat poison do you want to eat? I mean, we got a, right now the coupon is Doug5 at Health Masters, 5% off everything. And you say, well, that's still expensive for a distiller compared to what? Buying bottled water at $12 a gallon for these little bitty bottles you're buying? Are you kidding me? You make distilled water for what, 20 cents a gallon? You know, it's just so cheap. And once you look inside of a distiller, if you go to my website, I have it. In fact, I'll send you the article I wrote on it, Doug. If you don't mind, you can post it on your website so everybody can see it.
Sure.
I actually took a little video of me cleaning out my distiller and showing everybody the calcium carbonate. And it's like a little 30-second video in the article. And I say, look, if you eat this stuff, if you drink this water that has all this dissolved rock in it, this stuff ends up in your soft tissue. It causes hardening of the arteries. It causes bone spurs. It causes joint issues. It causes heel spurs. It causes all these horrible side effects. And I said, wouldn't you rather not have this stuff in your arteries? I mean, doctors cut their latex gloves while doing bypass surgery. The term's called hardening of the arteries. So you don't need any of this stuff in your body. I've been drinking distilled water now for, gosh, what, 35 years? And, I mean, I'm doing great. I mean, we work out 6 days a week. I can stay up until 4 o'clock in the morning doing talk shows on Coast to Coast, and I'm 60 years old. Now, mind you, I don't enjoy staying up all night. I don't like doing all-nighters. It's not much fun, but I'm still functional the next day. I still feel good. And see, the sad part about this is so many people that are my age, Doug, and much younger, they're sick. My good friend Ken May came over the other day, and we were talking, and Ken's a couple years older than me, and he goes, Ted, I cannot believe how many of my friends that are in their 40s and 50s and 60s are sick. They're having all kinds of intestinal disorders. They're having all kinds of cancers. They're having all kinds of problems with diabetes. They're having all kinds of problems with high blood pressure. He goes, it's unbelievable. He goes, they're all taking drugs. And I said, well, Ken, at the age of 60 right now, 37% of the population takes 5 or more prescription drugs a day. And I said, it's because of the lifestyles they've chosen. Because they've chosen not to eat right. They've chosen to eat junk food. They've chosen to go out and eat hamburgers every single day. I mean, we have a restaurant called Five Guys. Don't get me wrong. I've eaten many a hamburgers at Five Guys, and I would still eat a hamburger at Five Guys if I was hungry and I was out somewhere because they have pretty good meat that's not been frozen. But remember, that bun is going to be wheat. It's going to have glyphosate in it. So I'm very careful. I very rarely ever eat there. I haven't eaten there in a bit. But the point is, the more I get convicted about all of this stuff, the less I eat out, the less I do all of those things. I just prepare a little bit in advance, and I'm able to save a whole bunch of money by not eating out. That's why I said that one restaurant we go to in Auburndale here, that little place that Sherry likes to go to lunch, we bring our own water. There's certain things that I know are going to have a high spray of Roundup on them. I won't eat any of that. And we try to do our best to eat as organic and as clean as we can everywhere we go. In fact, I've got a new book we got that we're going to be on clean eating that we're almost finished with now, Doug, a whole new cookbook that we're going to make available on your show first. It'll probably be done in another month, and we'll have it available. It's our next book we're coming out with. It's going to make everything super, super easy to do as far as choices and how you prepare meals. Because Sharon, my wife, is an incredible cook. And the food we have here is just amazing. People are always coming over there going, man, I had no idea organic food tasted this good. Well, yeah, it does. It doesn't have poison in it. It makes it taste a lot better, especially when you know that it's healthy for you when you're eating it. But if you're ready, we're almost out of time, guys. Can I cover a few more nutrition things real quick?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. I want to talk about vaccines again because I've done this multiple times, and I want to give you some studies that have been done on this. Number of studies showing that thimerosal is linked to autism is 44. There's 44 studies proving this. Number of studies showing vaccine and autism link. There's 100 studies. Numbers of studies quoted by the vaccine promoter Paul Offit showing no vaccine autism link, 14. The rate of autism in the 80s, 1 in 10,000. Some people say 1 in 100,000. Rate of autism today, about 1 in 48. Rate of autism in 2025, 1 in 2. 2035, all boys. 2037, all girls. I mean, unbelievable. Number of doses recommended by age 6 per the CDC vaccine schedule from 1972 to 88 is 23. Number of doses in the current schedule is 69. Unbelievable. 69. amount of aluminum in 8 doses at 2 months for a baby checkup is 700 to 2,000 microgram in the two-month baby checkup, 2,000 micrograms, the maximum allowable aluminum per day for intravenous prenatal feeding for premature baby of 8 pounds. It's 18 micrograms a day maximum. This is 2,000 micrograms. The amount of aluminum received by a fully vaccinated 18-month-old baby is almost 7,000 micrograms. The number of studies proving the safety of injecting aluminum in the human infants is zero. The amount of mercury in liquid waste considered toxic by the EPA is 200 parts per billion. The amount of mercury in a large predator fish is 700 parts per billion. The amount of mercury in trace thimerosal vaccines, they call trace thimerosal-free vaccine, is 2,000 parts per billion. They say they're free of thimerosal. The amount of mercury in some single dose in some infant flu shots, 25,000 parts per billion mercury. The amount of mercury in multi-dose flu vaccines, given to pregnant women, 50,000 parts per billion of mercury. Now remember, a predator fish that they tell you not to eat when you're pregnant, Doug, is 700 parts per billion. 700 parts per billion. This pregnant wow. woman gets a vaccine with a multi-dose flu shot of 50,000 parts per billion of mercury. Amount of mercury that kills human neuroblastoma cells, and that's in utero, that's the little baby being formed, 0.5 parts per million. This is 50,000 parts per billion. Now, you want to talk about eugenics that we talked about earlier. That's what this is. This is eugenics. This is the wholesale slaughter of the unborn. I mean, we talked last week, a few weeks ago, we did a show with you guys, and we talked about in England how now they're trying to allow babies to come to term, even though they're going to get aborted, and bring them out, kill them, make them brain dead, but still keep them alive so they can transfer the still living organ. Because remember, with blood, you take blood from a living human being, it can be transferred into another human being. But the instant that body dies, that blood is toxic. You can't take blood out of a cadaver, a dead human being, and put it into a living human being. It'll kill them. That's how interesting blood is, because once that spirit, that life force leaves that body, and that spirit leaves that blood is no good anymore, because it's no longer creating scalar webs, and it's no longer releasing light photons, and it's toxic to put it into another human being.
Okay, so, then that leads me to my question. How is it possible if blood is extracted from the scenario you talked about where blood is reactive, you know, in Australia, you know, the example you gave? How is that possible?
Because the human being's still alive.
Okay. All right.
The human being's still alive. So when you take my blood out and I'm still trotting around up here and you keep that blood oxygenated, that blood's still talking to my blood through scalar waves. How cool is that? I mean, how cool is that? I mean, how cool is this fourth dimensional physics that they took out of the books with Maxwell? He's the one who postulated all of this fourth dimensional physics and plotting all of this stuff. See, this is how the world works. This is how the universe works. And Christians are so scared of physics and science, they don't want to talk about it because they say, it lessens their faith. This doesn't lessen my faith, Doug. This strengthens my faith. It makes me realize how incredible we're created in God's image and the power and the authority that he's given us, that demons are going to flee. I mean, these things that we have authority over these things. I mean, the authority that we have is of a believer. You know, when God connects us into heaven through the Holy Spirit is unprecedented. It really, really is. I mean, it's unbelievable what he's doing.
It is. If I can pop a couple more questions at you here, because I know we're getting close to the end of the program. Larry M. wants to know this. Speaking about the blood, he writes, what I'm missing about blood and DNA connection, consider the following. What we usually consider the blood are the red blood cells. But according to what I understand, red blood cells don't contain DNA because they have no cell nucleus. So that goes back to your DNA in the blood, communication type situation. What's your response to that?
Well, number one, I'd have to see why red blood cells don't have a nucleus. I'll be honest with you, if that's true, I don't know, Doug. I haven't done any research on that. It's one of those questions that I'm not prepared to answer, but I can find out for you. But I don't understand how a blood cell can't have a nucleus unless it's just something that's being produced by the body. But it doesn't make any difference if it doesn't have a nucleus in it. It's still going to have DNA material in it. It has to be DNA material. And
sure.
it's communicating through light photons. So I'm not sure how to answer that question, but if he'll email that to me, I'll do some research on it. I'll try to get in touch with the fella, the physicist that did all this initial research on this, see if I can get an answer from him for it.
All right.
But again, it's one of those things that I don't know the answer to, and I'm not going to try to make something up.
Well,
I'm too tired to make something up, Doug.
You sound wiped out, man.
Well, my little 4 o'clock in the morning coast to coast show last night. My purple things wore off, Doug. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. Yeah, I think we're all tired. It's been a heck of a week traveling and trying to get reoriented here. One more question, just to be clear. Dan A writes, "Love your supplements. Curious, are they non-GMO?"
Yes, we try to source everything non-GMO. Sometimes we can't get full assays done. We try to assay everything. But again, I try not to say that on the label, and here's why. Because I wasn't there. If I tell you that my chickens have non-GMO eggs, I'm pretty sure about that, assuming that I'm buying GMO feed that's really GMO-free feed, right? Because that's the whole thing. So I don't like making claims like that on my supplements, but we try to source everything non-GMO. But because I can't be there with all of the sources, I don't like saying on the label they're non-GMO. But you can be rest assured they're the highest quality supplements I can make. They work, and me and my family take them personally. So if I can make a better supplement, I would make it better. That's a fact. That's exactly what I would do. And so, but I don't know how to do it any better than that. In fact, I sent you the manufacturing facility we use. It's a full drug registered FDA drug facility with positive pressure rooms. I mean, nobody else that I know makes supplements in a place like that.
It's amazing. Yeah. What I saw in the videos, of the facilities where Health Masters makes their supplements. It looks like something out of the space age. Well, space. I mean, it's just amazing to see the videos, the equipment, the care that's taken. Certainly not from China, that's for sure. Deborah M. writes this. You had mentioned earlier about the Dark Act. The Dark Act was defeated 49-48. Many of the senators, including the main sponsor from Kansas, is from a farm state. And, of course, the definition of a drug, or this is a drug, it affects form, function, and or structure through this process. It can change our DNA function and structure. That from businessdictionary.com. Just want to throw that out there for people who are interested in that. And many, many people talking about how you're spot on. I know you've talked about this before. Again, I hope you don't mind me firing these questions at you. We have a gentleman who suffers from migraines twice a year, spring and fall, with barometric pressure changes, or sudden dry to wet weather extremes from cold to warm. No allergies, no known allergies. Is that, what do you do? I mean,
well, the best thing I've seen is magnesium, and the best way to do it is a magnesium chloride foot bath. And when Sharon came on, last year, she did a big testimonial of what it did as far as her bone spurs, and we've had multiple people have the same results as Sharon has had with that. Magnesium really helps relax the muscles of the body. It's used in over 300 biochemical reactions in the body. The body uses magnesium like it would gasoline in an automobile, whereas it uses calcium like the radiator. It constantly recycles it. And so the magnesium needs to be applied topically. We have magnesium deodorants. I mean, some breast tissue now that has cancer in it has been shown to have high levels of aluminum. In addition to that, the aluminum being used in these vaccines are being linked now to these children with these broken bones, and these parents are actually innocent in many cases as far as child abuse. And these children's bones are just so brittle because they can't pick up vitamin C, and they've got scurvy because of the aluminum. We talked about that on a show before. In fact, I had pulled that article back up to talk about it tonight, but we're not going to have time, so I just talked about it briefly there. So the magnesium protocol, the magnesium deodorant, the magnesium foot bath, the magnesium oil. I use all of that stuff on an ongoing basis. The magnesium odorant, the odorant's absolutely amazing, and you don't have to put aluminum chlorohydrate on your skin. And the foot bath, I soak my feet in that magnesium chloride every single day, and it really, really, it does much better as far as absorbing transdermally than it does through the intestinal tract, because right. magnesium is a very heavy mineral, and it's very difficult to absorb heavy minerals through the intestinal tract because it has to be taken up through passive osmosis, and the cells don't like doing that. And plus, if you try to take too much magnesium orally, it acts as a catharsis, and then it basically shoves a bunch of your other nutrients out with you because it causes diarrhea. And so you can take it up to 1,000 milligrams a day if your body can tolerate it, but it still works better to use it as a foot bath. And I use it every single day for about 40 minutes in the morning when I first get up, when I check my emails, because everybody has to check their emails sometime during the day. Might as well pull your shoes off and stick them in a foot bath, keep them hot for 30 or 40 minutes and absorb your magnesium that way. It's a really nice way to relax, to be honest with you, and it really helps in many cases to control migraines.
And see, folks, you thought that foot bath that you got for Mother's Day or Father's Day was, you were going to re-gift that, keep it, put magnesium in there. There you go, you know. Jill writes this, and we're going to revisit this topic again. She said, I had to run to get the phone right when you were answering this question. Pardon me for asking this again. 24 years old. Tell me again how to fight acne. Do you have any specific product? Ted, if you don't mind.
Yeah, there's all kinds of products for acne, but the most thing with acne is that you can change your diet. You've got to get off a high-fat diet. You got to get off the junk food. You got to get off the glyphosate. You got to get off the sodas. You got to get off all that junk that so many people eat on an ongoing basis. You got to get a clean diet. You got to clean out your intestinal tract. We have fibers that you can try to clean the intestinal tract out. If they don't work as well as they need to, you can always try a 7-day cleansing program. But I'm not making any claims that any of this stuff's going to work, because sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But I've seen the 7-day cleansing program work great for acne. We had a girl one time, her name was Gail. This is back in the 90s, so long ago, back when we were still in practice full throttle with 40 patients a day. And she was our secretary. And she had horrible acne. She was in her late 20s. I mean, it was awful. And she ate pretty clean. And she went on this 7-day cleansing program, and for the first time in her life since she had hit puberty, her complexion completely cleared up and she had no acne. Now, what was interesting about it was, she still had the scarring, because that's permanent unless you get that frozen back off. But as far as any new eruptions and new acne, she told me, she was in tears. She goes, Ted, this is the very first time since I was a kid that my complexion has cleared up. I want to thank you so much. Gosh, that's been 25 years ago, Doug.
Wow. You know, and folks, I can tell you this. If you do have serious issues, medical issues, Dr. Brower certainly will address them, through email. Spend some time at his website. That's healthmasters.com, and take a look at his array of products. And certainly Breakthrough Health is just a wealth of knowledge, or just a lot of resources, information there. And so you got 50, just to be clear, now, only 15 DVD sets left of...
Adrian Can Be Healthy, yeah. They're CD sets. And then we've got a bunch of the Maximum Energy of DVDs. They're DVDs. That's the ones we offered on Coast to Coast last night at the Body by Ted website. And we got those on sale with, I think, 3 or 4 books in a bundle for like $89. That's a phenomenal value, too. But, the whole thing about it is, guys, is this. You're only going to be as healthy as you try to be healthy. I mean, it just doesn't work if you keep doing the things that you've done to get sick. Let me give you another example. Dementia is now striking people in their 40s as mercury from vaccines cause slow degenerative brain damage. This is from Natural News. And it says, dementia and other neurological brain diseases are striking people younger and younger, according to a new study conducted by the researchers at Bournemouth University, England, and published in the Journal of Surgical Neurology International. These diseases have reached levels that are almost epidemic, the researchers said, and they've reached them so quickly that the environmental factors must be to blame. Alzheimer's disease, I can't tell you how many people have come to me and said, my wife is 45 years old or 46 years old, and she has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. Right now, there's 271 new vaccines in Big Pharma's pipeline as far as more drugs, more vaccines. The flu shot remains the most dangerous vaccine based on injuries and deaths and compensation by the government. And then we have to ask ourselves a question. Can we continue to justify injecting aluminum via vaccines into newborn infants? Now, also, some good news is vaccine uptake reactions is at our all-time lows because policy, people have stopped taking vaccines. So now the policy is shifting to mandatory enforcement and criminalization and arrest for refusing to take vaccines or being fired from your jobs. I mean, another article, California officials increase mercury-laced vaccines for children and forcing them upon pregnant women. Another article, too big to investigate, vaccine industry is now enjoying total immunity from all laws due to intimidated, corrupt lawmakers. The fall rush to vaccinate pregnant women with flu shots is backed by propaganda and not scientists. Scientific study confirms that aluminum is linked to Alzheimer's. I have known that for 35 years. I mean, on and on and on we can talk about these vaccines and how toxic they are and how you're injecting this stuff directly into your bloodstream and you're contaminating your own DNA. Because remember, all of this stuff will affect what's called epigenetics. Along with the GMO food, it affects epigenetics. It changes your DNA personally. And then when you have a child, that child's DNA is changed to match your DNA. And they've seen that, and they've shown it multiple times how one generation's dietary patterns affect the DNA of another child two or three generations down the road. And guys, they know with GMO that by the third generation that the animals they test this on are sterile. They can no longer reproduce. And guys, we're coming into the second generation now of GMO children in the United States. And within 20 more years, if this doesn't stop, fertility is going to be a major, major problem. And the globalists are going to have their way with their eugenics Nazi programs to reduce the population of the planet because we're going to be infertile. We're no longer going to be able to reproduce. And the only people that will be able to reproduce are those who have eaten clean, avoided the vaccines, stayed with organic. And those people will probably be sprayed or taken into concentration camps, be told that they're not allowed to reproduce, that you have to have permission from the government to reproduce. Don't think it can happen. It already happened with China with the one-child policy.
Man, that's criminal and that's satanic, and that's all I've got to say. Ted, my brother, I know you're exhausted. Just off of Coast to Coast last night, folks. I know you can find it on the internet. His interview with George Norrie, 2 hours Coast to Coast last night. Dr. Ted Brewer of George Norrie. Just go ahead and search for it. It's out there. Trust me.
Ted, anything next week or in the following weeks, investigative-wise, topic-wise on your show of interest that you think people must turn into?
Well, you know, our show is every day from 3 to 4, and we cover all the news stories, laking breaking health stories. We're covering the election politics. We're covering all of it. But we try to stay primarily on the health topics because so many of the other people are covering so much of the election politics already, and I don't like being redundant. And so I always try to cover the breaking edge stuff that nobody else wants to talk about, kind of like we do with your show. And so, yes, we're going to be doing continuing breaking edge stuff as far as the vaccines, the nutraceuticals that we produce and how they help people and protect people. We're actually going to be going into detail more with the Monsanto and the glyphosate, the different legislation that's being forced and thrust upon us and why we should support Donald Trump as our last best hope, I guess I should say, Doug. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. I mean, it's kind of a weird way of saying that, but I don't know what else to say about the guy. I mean, I know he's not perfect, but neither am I, and at least he's talking about a lot of stuff that nobody else wants to talk about, and at least the entire globalist community have attacked him to try to prevent him from being president, and that says more to me about him than anything else anybody else would say.
We've got only 60 seconds left, but Ted, I want to just tell you and our listeners this. I don't believe he's going to be the Republican nominee. I really don't.
They're going to steal it from him.
They're going to take it right from him. We were doing some research, Joe was doing some research today. There was an article that came out and
a couple,
but this is one in particular.
Ted Cruz gains in Louisiana after loss there to Donald Trump. Somehow Ted Cruz will take away 10 extra delegates, even though losing to Donald Trump in Louisiana. And they're doing this all around the country.
Absolutely, man. And we have to. And we better expect some the Christians out there. Well, the Americans should expect to see some.
Well, the sheeple Christians who believe that Ted Cruz is a Christian. They need to. I don't like everything Tex Mars says because I think he's way too anti-Semitic. He's done some excellent research now on Ted Cruz and Ted Cruz is, and I've listened to some of the stuff that he says, and he's got some really good on-point shows that he's done directly on Ted Cruz. But again, guys, support Hagman and Hagman. Go to their website. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. We appreciate all of you guys.
God bless you. Get some rest, buddy.
And have a happy Resurrection Sunday, guys. God bless.
Amen. Pastor Langford, Steve Quayle on Monday. Until then, stay safe. Have a great weekend.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.